Lord, be in my speaking and reside in our hearts always, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Do be seated. Well, today I actually want to begin with Philip. Philip, as many of you will know, was a disciple of John the Baptist before he became a follower of Jesus Christ, and with him found Nathanael. I'm sure you're all familiar with that. All nods. Just give me encouragement today. You're all there, aren't you? Yes. And prior to this, prior to the reading in the Gospel we've had, we've just had, sort of through John chapter 13 and 14, the Passover, where Jesus is foretelling his death. You know, that moment with Judas around the table. And then that little bit of a conversation between him and Peter, where he foretells Peter's denial. And then there's a lesser known or lesser repeated piece, which is a conversation between Jesus and Philip. And Philip says, you know, well, how will we know God? How will we recognize him? And Jesus goes, of course you'll recognize him. You've seen me and he's in me and you know me and therefore you have known God. Great so far? Followed the story? Excellent. And he says, you also know him because I've been with you and we've been together for a long time. It's not just like a passing meeting or a quick conversation today like we might have at a coffee shop. You've traveled with me, so you will be confident. You will know what you're going to be doing. There is nothing for you to worry about. You need to believe this, because whoever believes in me will do great works as I go to the Father. And he makes that wonderful promise. And to make sure this is possible, I will send with you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to guide you, to lead you. And so that really sets us up, doesn't it, with Philip. He's great. And then there comes into chapter 15, as we've just had, I am the vine, the true vine, not any old vine, the true vine. This is about crystallizing a greater understanding of the source of God through Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the grower. I am the vine, and my Father is the grower. And a little later on, he goes, I am the vine, and you are the branch. All connected, all residing in the vine with the grower. And then there's that hard piece, isn't there? The vine is here for a reason. The vine is here to bear fruit. And for those vines that don't, well, they get cut off. Those branches get cut off. And even those that do get pruned. Has anybody thought about pruning a plant and what it does? Have you seen what happens with the plant when it's pruned? It shrivels back to the stump and it takes a while to heal, doesn't it? And all the goodness goes back down and then it comes up and, as you know, it becomes more abundant. It has to be done carefully, not with rash abandon, with secateurs. I say that as a gardener who once got too carried away. Jesus is clear. He's setting it out. There is a peace, Philip. You're going to understand it. And if you understand it, then you will understand your part as part of the vine, as part of a branch that's got to go and bear fruit. Only possible by abiding in me and me in you, for I am the true vine. So that's great, because that sets us up for the reading from Acts, doesn't it? Chapter 8. So just before chapter 8, we've had the death of the martyr, of Stephen. He's just been stoned. And then we go straight into Philip, who has, in agreement, in conversation with an angel, been sent from Jerusalem south to Gaza. And on that journey, he encounters the Egyptian eunuch. Not any old Egyptian. This is somebody who's been to Jerusalem to worship. This is somebody who's trusted by the queen of Egypt and is her treasurer. So this is not somebody who's daft. This has got to be somebody with a little bit of acumen, do you agree? Probably can do more than the basic sums. Capable of holding the treasury together. And here he is in his chariot. And in his chariot, we know that before he encounters Philip, he's trying to read Isaiah. Now, Isaiah, all 65 chapters of it, is not an easy read, is it? Anybody wish to agree? There's some great revelations, some great prophetic foretelling of Jesus. You'll be very familiar with it. The light that's to come. And this poor eunuch is in the chariot and really stumbling it. And suddenly, Philip is encouraged by the Holy Spirit to go to the eunuch. And he runs to the chariot, to this stranger he's never met. Somebody of good standing, of high intellect, of someone who is not of the same place. And he sees and hears him reading and says, "Can I help you?" It's what we all do, isn't it? We run to somebody at the bus stop who might be reading something they don't understand, and you lean over and you say, "Can I help you?" What sort of reaction do you think you're going to get? There's no stranger danger in this moment. In fact, the eunuch invites him into the chariot, and they sit and they read Isaiah together, and he says, "Tell me, does the author mean this about himself or about someone else?" What a great opening question. You can hear the brain cogs whirring, can't you? Does he mean it about himself or someone else? And led by the Spirit, Philip goes in and he starts to reveal to him the piece about the sheep, the lamb to the slaughter, and from that into Jesus Christ. And we know it was good, don't we? We know in the moment that this branch, Philip, reached an opportunity and the fruit was evident. Because what does the eunuch do? The eunuch asks, when he spots water, "There's water there, what's to stop me being baptized?" There's plenty of water around today. Meet a stranger, you've got every opportunity. What's to stop me being baptized? Nothing. And the eunuch is baptized. And then we hear that at that moment, Philip is taken up and the eunuch continues on his journey, and we find again Philip on his way to Caesarea. What an encounter. But Philip was only able to do that, I would suggest, because he had dwelt with Lord, because he had spent some time understanding Jesus' teaching, because he had been challenged, asked those questions that everybody asks. How will I know God? How will I recognize God? How will I know what you're asking of me as a disciple to do? Jesus' reassurance echoes all the way through, even after his death and resurrection. You will know me because I'm abiding in you and you in me. I've commanded you to go and bear fruit, not just fruit in the immediate garden, but fruit beyond. Fruit not just with the people you know, but fruit with the strangers. Not fruit because you think you know everything, but because you can journey and accompany people in a way that will reveal Jesus Christ to them. We are all called, are we not, to be branches. Sometimes when we encounter strangers and we know a good place, prayers, that's easy. We can begin that journeying together. But it's more difficult, isn't it, when someone starts to question you on the Bible. What does it mean in Isaiah here? And we have to take a journey and sit down and examine it together. Years ago, we had a late teenage group. There were three members of this teenage group. They ranged from 16 to 19. Teenagers at 16 to 19, they know their own minds, agreed? Did you? Definitely. 16 to 19, sometimes they think they know so much more than you. Sometimes they think what you've learned is passé. It certainly was, because it wasn't on Google at that time. These teenagers found that when they did the journeying of the Bible together with someone accompanying them rather than teaching them, that it landed more deeply. They became leaders. These three teenagers are leaders of churches now. One is worship, one is a missionary in Australia, and another one leads a church in the Church of England. These teenagers went to bring others to faith. Now, I'm not suggesting any of us are experts, and I certainly wasn't a priest then. Can I say that? I wasn't a priest. I'm a learner, and I remain a learner of Christ. Although I might feel that I'm a branch, I remain a learner, and I remain regularly pruned, apart from cakes. I remain regularly pruned. And in that pruning, it means that I go to bus stops and I have conversations, and sometimes they're great. And sometimes it's fallow ground. And sometimes people come to me to have conversations, and I'm just overwhelmed with things in life. What about you? And sometimes I have time. But I have this one hope, that throughout the narratives I've just given you, there was something else at work. It wasn't just Philip on his own as the branch. It was Jesus, and the Holy Spirit was active, agreed? It was that activation by the Holy Spirit, the coming down, the baptism in Christ, the baptism of the eunuch, Christ in our lives, led by the Spirit, that made fruit be born. It's exciting, isn't it? I'm not sure how often you go to bus stops or where you might find opportunities, although I was thinking about the opportunity that tea and coffee was being asked for earlier for helpers. But I'm absolutely convinced the story of Philip holds so much more that we often miss. Jesus said to all of them, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And Philip took that, prayed and dwelt in the Spirit, followed the commandments, and then there was new fruit. I pray that for each of us, we too might find new opportunities to walk alongside and accompany each other and learn from each other new things as we examine the Gospels and live out the life in Christ's creation. Amen.